You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You're listening to Jeremy White and Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Morning, folks.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Hello there.
Are you good?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Big fans. Over probably 20 years.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing?
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
All right, it's a Friday at 9. Getting you towards the weekend. Joe DiBiase, Jeremy White off today. We'll be back on Monday. A lot of good phone calls this week. Talk some good fantasy as well. As we are approaching draft season for most, some like the sickos like me have already had a bunch. Scott Pianowski joining us now on the Western Hotline, one of our favorites during the regular season, joins us now before drafts really get going. Although, Scott, for you, like what's your number? How many drafts have you done already so far this year?
Not as many as you might think. I'm in the middle of maybe my fifth draft right now, but I can't tell you how many leagues I'm in the regular season, which means it's a full plate and a labor of love. Fantasy football has become a 12-month industry. The moment the Super Bowl ends, we're grinding tape about the draft. We're thinking about free agency, about trying to figure out all the coaching changes. There's obviously a lot to get to on the fantasy season. Happy to talk about it with you, Joe.
Or you are like me who has a draft the Saturday after the Super Bowl, which is our February fix league, which might be the craziest of the leagues that I am in. Although, you know, we get our guillotine leagues in there too, which is always a great format. So, yeah, very excited to start rolling into some more drafts.
And by the way, guillotine is available on Yahoo this year. So I don't know all the specifics on that, but it is something we're going to offer. I know we've talked a lot about that format on this program, and you guys understand it. It's really fun as long as you don't get eliminated early in the season. You know, much like Survivor, right? It's great if you can, you know, not pick the Bengals in week one, which is like, you know, the biggest mistake you can make every year, it feels like. But it's a new thing at Yahoo, so I want you to be looking out for that.
Awesome. That's really good to hear. Because, right, a lot of times, I think actually really maybe every guillotine league I've ever been in, whoever's running it has to do it manually. Was that one where, like, did you put in the suggestion on that, or did the bosses know that was a growing format?
It wasn't me, actually. I think it was my editor, Jason, who might have pushed for it. But, a lot of other fun, really fun things. There's a Vegas event we're doing in Yahoo in late August. I want you to look into it, the Venetian. But a lot of new changes that we're adding, some promotions we're doing, and some initiatives in August. So I can't talk about all of them right now, but I just want you to know it's going to be a really fun year at Yahoo Fantasy, and I hope everybody checks it out.
Awesome. Can't wait. So let's start with the Bills a little bit here, Scott. Mm-hmm. The thing that comes top of mind for me for the Bills in fantasy this year, because they're going to spread the ball around again, and Josh Allen is obviously going to be one of the top quarterbacks. He'll run for, you know, 12 touchdowns or something. I wonder where Kincaid might fall into that. He's the one guy that I think is being talked about the most as having a growing role, at least from last year. There was injuries, only 75 targets. I think most expect that number at least to be higher. Would you expect his role to be high enough, though, to where he's getting into that, you know, higher end tight end one territory? Or do you think his most likely outcome is still maybe a streamer, like a low end tight end one?
Yeah, I think it's more of the second thing for me, but let's acknowledge we've been a little bit spoiled. I mean, rookie year for Sam Laporta 2 years ago, he breaks fantasy. Last year, rookie year for Brock Bowers, he breaks fantasy. But we know of the four major positions, tight end is usually the slowest burn, right? They don't do a lot sometimes, rookie tight ends, because of the complication of the position and the blocking assignments and all that. It just, for many years, you just, rookie tight ends, you just shrug and say, no, I'm not going to touch them. And because Kincaid was so good as a rookie, and then last year he gets hurt and his participation went down a little bit. It was also, you know, for Buffalo's offense, as high powered as it theoretically is, I mean, nobody got more than the 100 targets Shakir got. So there wasn't a big fantasy win. With the most touchdown catches was Mac Hollins with 5. I mean, I don't know anybody who expected that. You know, if I tell you, I tap you on the show and say, yeah, Josh Allen's going to have an MVP season, and there's really not going to be a right answer in the pass catchers. Shakir would make his ADP back and probably be a value play. But everything else, if you invested in Coleman, you would have been a little bit disappointed. I think Kincaid was probably the biggest disappointment in this offense. He's somebody you draft as your second tight end with plausible upside. Third season in the NFL, you hope for some growth. But I can't say he's a target player for me. I'm okay with Kincaid because we draft multiple leagues. Like Joe, I'll have some shares. I don't want to be completely locked out of it. But I can't say he's somebody I have a circle around or a star around. I just think this offense, as you said, it's going to be distributed to a lot of different guys. I don't see anybody who's going to get that, you know, 7 to 9 targets you want every game or the occasional double-digit target game. I just don't think the offense is going to be structured that way.
Yeah. What about James Cook? I wanted to get into some regression candidates maybe with you. I saw you write about that last month, I think. And Cook had a crazy amount of touchdowns, especially compared to the previous season. The thing that makes me wonder if he can even get to double digits again, Scott, would be how many of them came from far out. Like, I think Barkley was the only one that averaged more yards per touchdown last year. And that doesn't that make you think that the number could really come down, is that he's not really getting a lot of these carries at the one and the two?
Well, no, nobody was like Barkley. I know it. It's like it's tattooed on my wrist that Barkley's average touchdown length was 29.4. And
right.
He didn't have a single touchdown from the 1 yard line. Now,
right. Cook might have been second.
Cook actually scored 3 times from the one. And I'm looking at his touchdown log now. So 9, 11, 12 of those touchdowns were at least inside the 10. Mm-hmm. But you don't expect, you know, when there's a running play from the 8 yard line, you don't expect it to be a touchdown, right? And he had some big plays. He had the 49 yard run against Miami. There's a 65, a 41, a 46 yard touchdown in here. There's no guarantee any of those repeat. Those are fluke plays. Don't happen a lot. They don't always carry over year over year. And it's just so crazy, Joe, that you think he had 30 fewer carries than he did the previous season. He had 2 rushing touchdowns and 6 total touchdowns the previous year. He gets 18 touchdowns, 16 rushing last year. Plays for an offense where, as you talked about with Allen, he's basically got at least 10 in his back pocket, could go up to 15. What seems like a right number? I don't know, 7 to 9? Seems right to me. Mm-hmm. The good thing you like is the efficiency, right? 4.9 yards a carry last season. That's his average as a pro. And his efficiency in the passing game is decent enough. I mean, he caught 32 or 38 targets for his career. 7.1 yards per target is a good number. 9.1 yards per catch is a good number. I see no reason why you can't expect maybe 400 receiving yards, 350, something like that. He's not going to be Marshall Faulk at peak, but he's going to supplement his value in the passing game. So I like Cook. It's just, what do we settle on for the touchdowns? We all see that as an unreasonable number to expect again. I think 7 to 9 touchdowns seems about right. And somebody who's to me, a lower-end running back, too.
Yeah. Does contract stuff ever come into your equation for these guys? Cook being one that's going into a contract year, he wants the new deal. I think right now that seems less likely. Kyren Williams is in that spot too. Does that ever play into your thought process and where you're picking guys?
A few years ago, I would have told you just to ignore all that stuff because almost anybody contracts are so easily maneuverable in the NFL, and they can get in and out of stuff so easily that it's almost like everybody's playing, singing for their supper in a contract year, more or less, just the structure of the league. But as I've gotten older, it's something to be said for a happy player, something to be said for a guy who's in camp, who's in shape. Sometimes these guys hold out. They get it solved before the season, but maybe they're not ready to go in September, and every game is precious in fantasy. In a lot of leagues, you only get maybe 13 games to make the playoffs. You can't be wasting any weeks. So it's become something I consider as a tiebreaker, something kind of a down ballot consideration. But I 5 or 10 years ago, I used to just say, no, don't worry about it. Nobody wants to miss a game check. It's so rare. What Emmitt Smith, back in a different generation, once missed the first two games. Dallas panicked. They caved. Emmitt was great the rest of the way. But usually these holdouts don't go into the season. But I don't want to have reasons to stay up at night to be worried about happiness, form, you know, reps, health status. Just, you know, I want my players to be ready to go when the season starts. So it's become a little bit of a tiebreaker for me. I'm not going to make it a primary reason why I do or don't draft somebody, but it's at least something to consider on the downside.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Fantasy Sports on the Wester Hotline. Regression candidate. So a little bit on Cook there. I've thought about that for Terry McLaurin more than anybody this year because of the touchdown number last year, and the target number was, you know, it was fine, 117, but you've definitely seen higher than that around the league, and even with him. One, would you agree on that for McLaurin, that he's somebody to watch for this? And then who else comes to mind for you of guys that would have really lived up last year for your fantasy team, but this year maybe not expect the same?
Yeah, McLaurin's certainly high up on that list. I mean, we're always waiting for him to have a good offense and a good quarterback to play with. It's just been so long that, you know, I mean, DJ Moore's always like that. You know, I used to call these guys the "it's not your fault" all-stars. The players are great, but the quarterback play around them is mediocre. And then finally, after 4 and 5 and 5 and 4, that's what you get from McLaurin for touchdowns every year. Last year, he gets 13. He's into an age 30 season. So it's the SAT question. What's the next number? Is it 6? Is it 7? Is it 8? Nobody's going to count on 13 again. And but McLaurin also age 30 season. He's unhappy with his contract. Mm-hmm. So it's very plausible that he goes into the season maybe not as ready as he needs to be, maybe not as sharp as he needs to be. Of course, we love Jaden Daniels, and we know that offensive concentration is pretty narrow in Washington. I haven't made a major adjustment to McLaurin. The thing with him is that I don't think anybody's fooled by last year's 13 touchdowns. I think the market is pricing him in as like a 7 to 9 touchdown guy. So it's a case of, I wrote about regress and win players, where guys who can regress, play worse than they did last year, produce less, and still be values at ADP. Cortland Sutton's one of those guys. Nobody expects his touchdown rate to carry over from the last couple of years, but he's still the number one receiver in a Sean Payton offense. So I'm fine to take Sutton. When you talk regression, I think the number one screaming poster child for all this is Barkley. We talked about him earlier, the 29.4 yards per touchdown, which is just unsustainable. He didn't have any touchdowns from the one. The tush push survived, and he had so many touches. And I think people misunderstand. You know, people talk about, oh, you know, the curse of 370, and oh, you know, 400-plus touches and everything. I don't think it's always like a car where it's like the mileage and everything. It's just a matter of, it's just hard to stay healthy for a 17-game season. And then obviously the Eagles won the Super Bowl, so they go deep in the playoffs. All that extra work. It's just hard to tempt fate and stay healthy for a full season after a season of that. But the frustrating thing for me, if I was rostering Barkley, is just anytime I told you the Eagles just scored from the one, you never think it's him. You always think it's Hurts. He's not a dynamic pass catcher anymore. I have Barkley number 6 overall on my board, which probably means I won't draft him. Chase, Robinson, Gibbs, Lamb, and Jefferson I have in front of him. And even if I got the 6 and Barkley was the pick, I'm really nervous to take him. When you talk regression, I think Barkley's the first name you come to.
Yeah, those running backs last year that changed teams and got big contracts, they all kind of hit. And right, maybe Barkley is different than the other two I'm thinking of here are Derrick Henry and Jacobs, Josh Jacobs in Green Bay. And do they feel more solid because of that touchdown point? And really, all three of them are going to get work. But right now, Barkley's far more expensive than the other two.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Yeah, I think the story of last year overall in fantasy was just how healthy the running back position was. But we've all been trained to think, okay, it's a injury position, it's an attrition position, you get a draft, all these high upside lottery tickets, and I still think that's the way to play. Last year, so many of those running backs in their late 20s, you know, Barkley and Henry and Mixon had a good season despite everything going wrong around him. Kamara was good again, player I've faded for the last couple of years, but he was at least returned his ADP. James Conner has aged better than a lot of people expected. The only running back I can really think of that broke your heart was McCaffrey, and that started right away with the Niners lying to us in week one. They knew Jordan Mason was going to play. Draft Jordan Mason this year, by the way. I love him in Minnesota. I expect the running back injury rate to be more normalized this year, and I think it's going to be a season where I wish I could tell you who the right guys to get are. I mentioned Jordan Mason, but it's going to be whether it's McCaffrey gets hurt again, you know, who's the right running back in – Los Angeles with the Chargers, is this the year that that the Broncos settle on one back? They drafted R.J. Harvey proactively, but then they add Dobbins, which was kind of out of nowhere. I want you to make sure you have four, five, three, depending on your league specs. I want running back to be the most proactive position on your bench, because I think last year was an outlier with the injury rate, and this year we're going to see a bunch of league winners come from guys who are drafted outside the top 100.
Scott Pianowski with us on the Western Hotline. Scott, what about, I feel like the guy you probably get asked the most about, or most fantasy analysts would get asked the most about, is Travis Hunter this year and what you would be doing with him. It does feel like every time the head coach talks about him, he's talking about him as a receiver, but he also was taking reps at corner. And anytime the defensive coach talks about him, he's talking about him as a corner. So, I don't know. What would you do with him, knowing that they also have Brian Thomas there, so him being the number one might be far-fetched right away, but the talent obviously is through the roof. So, how do you put it all together with Hunter?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, obviously, Liam Cohen, you know, last year I was all worried. Dave Canales made the Panthers offense sing, and now he's gone, and what's going to happen? And Liam Cohen, probably more of a right answer than Dave Canales. Canales did do some good things with Carolina. That offense was humming down the stretch. But a lot of moving parts here, because how good is Trevor Lawrence? He's in one of those seasons where I think we're going to find out. Thomas was fantastic last year, despite everything kind of crumbling around him. Hunter, not in my top 30 at receiver. Just he's going to get some reps at defense on defense. I don't know how many, but it's going to take away some of his preparation, some of his focus. And Thomas is just so good. I can't see them moving away from him as an alpha. I think Hunter's going to be more of a really good number two, split the reps with, you know, again, I don't know if it's three reps, five reps, seven reps, 10 reps a week at defense, but, you know, the defensive coaches are like, can we get this guy more? We love this guy. They may have a really bad secondary too. So Hunter's not a proactive pick for me, but I do think Jacksonville is one of the most fascinating offenses. We have to figure out what's going on with their three-headed monster at running back. Cohen looks like a right answer. Is this the year Lawrence finally gets on track, because he's just been coached by some of the guys. Doug Peterson's time has kind of come and gone. He's one of those coaches who, you know, was a right answer maybe 10 or 15 years ago, but isn't right now. So
along with the Bears, because we talked a lot about coaching change, Caleb Williams, 72 sacks, but you know, they upgraded. Caleb Williams got everything he wanted for Christmas, right? He got a tight end, he got a receiver, he got upgrades on the offensive line, and he got a play caller in Ben Johnson, who everybody thinks good things about. So I spent a lot of time just mulling and ruminating and thinking about what do I think is going to happen in Jacksonville? What do I think is going to happen in Chicago? I'm probably a little bit more excited about Jacksonville because the usage tree is more narrow. In Chicago, there's more competition for the ball, and the guys can cannibalize each other a little bit. But those are two offenses I'm going to have very much on high alert as I try to navigate what's going on this summer.
The funny thing, too, about those two teams, I feel like they were both discussed as offenses that could add at running back either in the draft or free agency this year, and really neither one of them did anything major in the backfield.
Right, so Swift, you know, everybody was ready to move away from him. Okay,
yeah.
Who do they add? And, you know, they didn't make any significant changes. The couple of guys pushing Johnson and Mongai are there, and we'll see if one of them becomes the designated goal line guy. But in Jacksonville, it's all like, well, they inherited ETN. They really don't like him. They didn't throw the ball to Bigsby at all last year. Tootin was drafted, but I think he was just a fourth-round pick, so we have to be a little bit muted over the enthusiasm for him. But remember, too, Cohen threw to his backs a ton in Tampa Bay, and he made Bucky Irving a league winner last year. White still had a useful season, so I feel like there's a right answer. Tootin is the guy I think I'm probably going to roster the most, but I'm going to be try to figure out, can they find a way to get Bigsby the ball in the passing game? They did not do that at all last year. Of course, sometimes can they block? Can they trust them in all packages? Does ETN have another kick with the team? People talked about him maybe being cut, and maybe being traded, maybe being on the outs, but he's still at the top of the depth chart. But because I trust Liam Cohen so much, I feel like at least one of these guys is going to really smash his ADP. I wish I had a great feel for it right now. Again, Tootin is the player I think I'll probably roster the most at current ADP, but I'm not ruling any of them out. And just some of this stuff is unknowable right now. You have to make a guess, but you know, we have to try to read the tea leaves. And we're into the silly season now. I want to remind everybody, one of my rules with quotes with the summer NFL is that be very careful when they say something positive, but believe everything when it's negative, because they have no reason to lie when they're telling you bad stuff. But the summer season's a little bit silly. We've seen, you know, the exhibition games are less impactful. Teams don't play as much. They don't show their hand as much in the preseason. There's less hitting in the summer. It's a lot of it is speculation. Sometimes the September games become glorified exhibition games. It takes a few weeks to get into rhythm. But one of the more reasons why this fantasy is great, because a lot of this is speculation, and a lot of this stuff we won't know until the games are actually played.
Yep, all that deciphering starts in less than 2 weeks, where deciphering coach speak season is starting very, very soon. Last thing very quickly for you, Scott. Rookie running backs. Last year, I feel like there wasn't much of this because nobody was really that excited about any of them. And Genty's going really high this year, of course. He should. And then it's Hampton, the list I'm looking at. Hampton, 16th running back. Harvey, 21. Henderson, 22. Johnson, 24. Judkins, 26. Like, they're all kind of close together. Do you like any one of those guys a lot more than the other?
You know, even though Dobbins was added in, I still think Harvey's going to be the best back in Denver, and Sean Payton loves to throw to his backs too. He didn't really have a great dynamic option last year. He is more of a backfield he likes this season. Dobbins had trouble staying healthy in the NFL and hasn't been a dynamic pass catcher after being that type of player at Ohio State. The thing with Judkins is that, look, Cleveland, I don't know what they're doing at quarterback. They have four guys. None of them really make any sense. I didn't understand their draft. You know, Flacco is placeholder. They're going to try to win games with running, with defense, those 13-10, 16-13 games. You think of what Pittsburgh has tried to do the last couple of seasons. Cleveland will try to do that too. Jed can set up for success. And I thought Henderson was the better of the two Ohio State backs. He'll be New England's best running back, a team that's made a lot of upgrades. Josh McDaniels is kind of like that Cliff Kingsbury thing. You don't trust him as a head coach. You like him as a coordinator. May did some good things last year, and now they've upgraded, not maybe as much as some other teams, but you know, they drafted an offensive lineman early. We'll see what Diggs has left. Did they finally land on the right rookie receiver? They've been having trouble with that for a while, but I think Henderson's going to be impactful as a rookie. And again, I think Harvey's going to be the guy to get in Denver.
Yeah, that's where those are the two guys that I've been looking at too the most. We just talked to a Cleveland guest about Judkins, and it has me feel a little more pessimistic about his environment. So, and he's going last of those group right now. So anyway, All right, Scott Pianowski, and the Yahoo Guillotine news made my morning. So thanks for that, Scott. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to talking again.
Yeah, same here. Always great to talk to you guys, and you guys understand fantasy. This is one of my favorite radio spots of the year, so looking forward to running it back.
Yeah, appreciate you saying that. We'll talk soon. @Scott_Pianowski, you want to follow him on Twitter. Guillotine on Yahoo. All right. No more manual. Having to cut everybody on their roster going into the morning, so that'll be fun. I believe there is a Josh and Owen can speak to this more, because I know they've got the chat open more than me, like, once the segment has begun. I do believe there is a bullpen fantasy league that has been started.
That's correct. We've got
you boys are going to be in it.
I believe Hot Dirt is organizing in there. I'm not sure.
What a sentence.
Hot Dirt.
He's a regular in the chat, but out of context, if you're not normally on our YouTube feed, would be like, what? Who?
Which, if you're not, come check out the YouTube feed. We're live every day. Like, subscribe, all that stuff. That's what I do here. So it's a good time over here. So yeah, we got a little fantasy league going here. We'll see. I'm curious to see how many people we get in there. I don't know.
It is a 12-team league as of right now, but I wonder if it's going
to
expand.
I'd anticipate that getting up there to 14, 16, somewhere in there.
16. See, once you start getting to that number, it almost has to be a guillotine league.
Yes.
I think anything over 14 has to be guillotine. 16 is just, you are so thin on the bottom of your roster, bottom of your starting group, really. Quarterback becomes extremely more difficult. You can do it. It's just, I don't know. I think it's only for the hardest of the hardcore fantasy players, because you got to be diving in on third string running backs and sixth round rookies. Like, you got to know who the Jaguars' sixth round rookie running back is.
Right.
If you are playing in a 16 team league, whereas you're at 12 or 14, you know, you don't have to be that invested. You have to be invested. You don't have to be a sicko like that, where like you're looking at the practice squad guys on some rosters.
Yeah. Those 16s, I got asked to be an 18 teamer one time, and I was like, I can't even fathom what that looks like, and I don't really want to think about it anymore. So bye. That's just not. I love doing it. It's fun. I've been doing, you know, within the GR league we have, I've been helping Bulldog run his team, because he never, it was a long road to get him to even download an app. So I've been helping him out for a long time there, which has been great. And this should be fun here at the bullpen league. We'll see.
The bullpen league.
And have you contemplated your name for your team yet? I got mine.
I was thinking about what was our generational crow beef?
Oh, yes.
There you go. I might go generational crow beef.
That's a good
one.
That
was my line yesterday. Figured that works. So that'll probably be it.
Love it. That's good.
803-0550 is the phone number. Alcaraz won the first set against Taylor Fritz at the Wimbledon semis. That match is ongoing right now. Fritz is up 2-1, though, in the second set at this very moment. When we come back, where's the poll at for who the best defender is under Sean McDermott? We talked about that really early this morning on who just kind of fell into it. There's a tier one of guys that all are pretty close together. How often have you thought about it? Like, who's the Josh Allen's the GOAT on offense in this era of Bills football. Who's the GOAT on defense? Just this era. And I think most have their answer. That and more when we come back here on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.